Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody, joining us today. It is a fantastic Sunday, August 16th. I just had to look at the date real quick because I forgot for a second. But welcome to another episode of Breaking Ancient News. We are joined by a fantastic guest host today, the D-Dunker himself, Dan Richards. Dan, how are you doing today? And great to have you. Welcome to Breaking Ancient News.
Doing great, Aaron. Thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate the invite. It's good to see you and Cody and Dave again. Haven't talked to you guys for a couple, 3 months since Sedona. Did Dave longer than that and Cody longer than that. But yeah, Cody at Scottsdale and Dave, I think last time I talked to you, we were live streaming.
Yeah, I think we did that after Scottsdale.
Yeah, I believe we did.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's good to see everyone. How are we doing?
Doing great. Thanks so much for joining us, Dan. Oh, yeah. Welcome. You know, Dan's audience is here. We're live streaming across a bunch of channels. So shout out to everybody that's paying attention. Yeah, Dan, we all first met at the Quest for Ancient Civilization over there in Scottsdale.
Scottsdale, yeah.
The next one's happening in Austin. We're all going to meet there again. So that's why it's on my brain there.
Yeah, it's going to be great. The Mystery Boys actually just signed up about 2 weeks ago to be there, Kurt Metzger and Duncan Trussell.
That's right. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're as far as comedians go, they're pretty high on the list of guys that are they'll fit right in. Right,
Duncan will for sure.
This lineup's already pretty stacked. Since you've got it pulled up already, Aaron, why don't you run through who all's confirmed so far? Because it's pretty darn impressive.
Give me just a sec. Yeah, our wonderful producer. Let me do a shout out real quick. We've got our producer, Sierra. This is her first time running the board back there. So shout out to Sierra for getting this pulled up already. Didn't even have to ask. She's already on it. Of course, you know, I'm Aaron over at the Megalithic Mystery. I explore ancient ruins all across the world. We're joined by Cody over from East 10 Outpost.
Hey,
who's a content creator and storyteller and explorer as well. And Dave over at Dave's Multiverse, which is the most criminally underrated interview podcast on the planet for alternative history and UFO type stuff. He gets all the Rogan guests before they get big. But definitely, Quest for Ancient Civilizations is taking place. We've got David Childress, Randall Carlson, Billy Carson, Dan Richards himself, Hugh Newman, J.J. Ainsworth, Duncan Trussell, Kurt Metzger, and more people soon to be announced. It's going to be a stellar lineup. Tickets are on sale now. Go to questforancients.com. I'm going to be there. The whole crew is going to be there. The Breaking Ancient News crew, Dan's going to be there. Get down there, a chance to meet us and to learn about all these fantastic topics. You know, I've been to both the Sedona and the Scottsdale Quest, and I cannot tell you the information that I got was mind-blowing. I mean, we all have, you know, have our different interests and different YouTube kind of rabbit holes that we go down. And so when you get to experience these people that are just offering a slightly alternative perspective, the one you had access to is truly incredible. So join us at Quest for Ancient Civilization in Austin, October 16th through 18th. It's going to be a blast. Hey, let's just dive right into this news show, guys. There's been some exciting things happening this week in the realm of ancient history. So a lot of drama that's been going on, some finger pointing, name accusations, and name calling, and a bunch of fun stuff that we love to get into. So let me just pull off these topics real quick, and we're going to dive in. First, of course, the Filippo Biondi. His paper was retracted from the article or the magazine that published it. That's going to be some big news. Also, D-Dunking Dan has posted a new video about that, about with Milo Rossi, that we're going to get into. The Göbekli tree Göbekli Tepe tree controversy is popping off. Jimmy Corsetti seems to be a little bit vindicated, while some other archaeologists have a little bit egg on their face. Aaron over the Megalithic Mystery posted a new video called Megalithic Mormons, which tells a story of very strange connections between a religious text and the timeline of the Olmec and the Hopewell that we're going to be getting into. Dave's got some giant fossil bones that were from the Denisovians that placed them at a different size than we had previously thought. Cody's going to keep catch up on the Y files. We're going to have Dan and our producer Sierra play the ancient satellite map game. And all of you viewers at home, including all of Dan's viewers at home, you guys will have a chance to win, because we play this every week, where you guys get to win a hat shipped to you anywhere in the world. I've shipped them to Australia. I've shipped them to England. I've shipped them to Scotland. I hate it because it costs like $40 every time. So maybe somebody in North Korea is going to be watching. They'll have to pay $150 there. But watch the ancient satellite map game for your chance to win this hat. We're going to be playing it live. Karnak, some more buried megaliths were found. The solar eclipse is happening next year over the Great Pyramids and over Luxor. And then Randall Carlson's talking about Paiute giants. There's a lot of great topics, and we can't wait.
Giants.
Giants. First up on the list here, the Biondi paper was retracted, and community goes crazy. Sierra, if you would pull up for us the Biondi's tweet about it. I just want to read Biondi's tweet here.
While we're doing that, just wanted to shout out Stig, Super Chat, $10. Oh! My keyboard is stuck. What's up, Stig? Thank you.
What's up, Stig?
Friend of the show, Stig Hansen, one of the only guys that we know that's been out to the reshot structure over in Mauritania. So shout out, Stig. Friend of the show. Thanks for joining
us. Yeah.
Thanks
great for YouTube super channel. Chat. Go check out his YouTube channel.
He does have a great YouTube channel. All right. So this Filippo Biondi's 2022 paper, which was titled Synthetic Aperture Radar Doppler Tomography, reveals details of undiscovered high-resolution internal structure of the Great Pyramid of Giza. That was a mouthful. It was formally retracted last week by Remote Sensing MDPI. The retraction cites serious methodological flaws and statistical errors following a reader complaint. The paper stood for nearly 4 years and was central to Biondi's viral claim, including his 2026 Joe Rogan appearance. So Biondi is fighting back. Do we have that pulled up there, Sierra? Thank you there. So this is what Biondi says. I want to take his words because, you know, I like to go straight to the source. Validate all this information instead of have a lot of speculation. See, so he said over 400,000 downloads, a significant global scientific debate. Our 2022 paper, Remote Sensing MDPI, has been retracted. The official reason that an anonymous reader raised concerns, and what he says is, we respectfully request that these specific methodological flaws and statistical errors be clearly identified and documented. Our analytical model does not rely on statistical inference. The results are obtained through the direct inversion of the straightforward Doppler tomographic model. The sister paper on volcanic structure, same journal, same technique, same year, remains online. So I think that's a fair pushback from Biondi, that he wants information about the specifics that were requested for this rebuttal. But it's just glaringly ironic, because when other people asked him for the specifics of how the technology operated and if they could view the data, what did Biondi say? Biondi said no. So now here he is. Somebody else says, oh, hey, I don't believe this is correct because of these reasons. And now Biondi is saying, show me the proof. And then originally people were like, well, hey, why don't you show me the proof first? So he's kind of doing this little these little mind games here, but I get his perspective. Interesting though that it's been retracted. I mean, there's been a whole bunch of drama surrounding it. Dan, what do you got to say about this? I know you did the thing with Milo Rossi, but what are your whole thoughts on this whole retraction?
Well, the retractions, you know, I haven't looked at the details of the retraction specifically. One of the problems that I have with the way that they've handled Filippo's work is that every time I've seen anybody complain about it, they're using old school synthetic aperture radar standards, and he's claiming to have a new technique using artificial intelligence. And if you look at the history of SAR, like, it went from being just really crappy, muddy, fuzzy images in the 70s. As computers picked up, it just got better and better and better. And to the point now where it does get a couple of centimeters of fidelity. So that's all on computers. So AI, I mean, honestly, like, the fact that there's five King's chambers in the one scan kind of tells me that he's got something going on there, because that does reek of AI to me. That's just like, I'm trying to draw a picture and my AI image generator is a little foobar and now it's got eight thumbs. And so honestly, I mean, the same thing with the big old giant things going 2 kilometers underground. This ain't no different than have a guy reach for a baseball and the AI puts it reaching over the fence, you know, half a mile away. It's to me, it seems very, very, I do think he's doing something. I don't think that he's just throwing wood, but I do also think it's been for several months now, he's been in that kind of shit or get off the pot spot with it. It's like, dude, you need to give us something more than just a scan.
I think you're absolutely correct. So your view then, just to kind of summarize a little bit to make sure I got it, is he's the AI maybe overreaching a little bit in its, you know, claims.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the other side, I would say that the skeptics are being overly skeptical. Like when Flint Dibble goes and parades out some person that's from, you know, that's a radar specialist, but they don't use synthetic aperture radar, or they don't know what Filippo Biondi's got going on. I mean, you know, it's like saying, well, we've got a rocket specialist that's never studied any of Elon Musk's rockets, and they're going to tell him what the limitations of it are. It's like, well, dude, I mean, fucking come on. Yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So I think both sides of it are as usual. I look at it from both sides. And in this case, I think both sides are a little, you know, I expect Filippo to, as a researcher, I expect him, generally speaking, you're going to have true believers. That's usually what you see in science, is these guys, the more passionate researchers tend to be true believers. They tend to really believe that they're onto something new, and that's why they keep looking for different angles. The skeptics getting that way is a little bit problematic for me, because doing it without evidence is a little scary.
I think doing it without evidence is a big point, and then also doing it without allowing other people to look at the data is a huge point for me too.
Yeah.
Sierra, would you pull up, you know, you brought up Dan or Flint Dibble there. Sierra, would you pull up the tweet from Flint Dibble? I thought it was interesting to go over. And then Dave, you've been involved in this. You've had a bunch of guests on the show talking about this. So I would like to get your perspective too. What do you think about this retraction?
So we're looking for a Dibble. We lost Sierra, I think. So
oh, we I'm lost
gonna,
Sierra.
I'm going to try to save the show here.
I got it. I got the tweet pulled up here.
You got it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Where'd Sierra go?
Well, what I will say is that for a paper of this visibility and this controversy and these types of claims, I was fully expecting a retraction. Yeah. Like, I'm not surprised that it's retracted. Papers of, like, you know, half the amount of sensationalizing that this one got, get retracted for being like high profile and like controversial and stuff like that. So the fact that it's retracted, like Dan, I started to look into the retractions and go into the paper, but I got distracted by something and then I didn't finish. But I would say that let's give him a chance to, you know, correct whatever's wrong with it and then move forward. But I'm not surprised. You, Cody?
No, like you said, things this sensational almost always end up getting a retraction, no matter how much validity or meat they have. At a certain point, it's almost like they don't want to be bothered with the amount of attention it gets. So I'm definitely not surprised about the retraction, but I do feel like We are at the phase for sure where you kind of gotta be willing to show how you are coming to your extraordinary claims, or you need to accept people picking them apart because they're going to. If you've got a foolproof method here, it should be no issues putting it out there and showing everybody what you're working with and how you're coming to those conclusions. And believe me, I'm rooting for him because I want shit to be fantastical all the time. That would be great. So just everybody needs to be transparent about how they're coming to the conclusions and then what the problems are with the conclusions that are being come to. That's my thought.
I just want to shout out Ed here. Peer review just means, does your dogma match our dogma? There is that element.
Yeah.
No, there's no Mars Disclosure Live today. That's every 2 weeks. Next week, we're going to have another special guest. So join us for Mars Disclosure Live happening after Breaking Ancient News next week at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, kind of tying into our second topic here. First of all, you know, thanks again, Dan, for having us on. And Dan actually posted a video kind of in this space with Milo Rossi, a little response there on his channel. So tell us a little bit about that, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks again for having me on, Aaron. But yeah, there's plenty of things to point out with the second Sphinx hypothesis that have issues, like we were just discussing. Highest on the list is the fact that nobody else can look at this stuff, right? It's completely proprietary. So that's a huge problem. But Milo Rossi, he made a video that was almost an hour long. It's like at 1.3 million views last I looked. And to call it vapid is being polite. I mean, it's just completely stupid. He doesn't point out any of the things that you would think that somebody would. He laughs. He mocks the idea of a second Sphinx even being a thing. He just laughs at it like it's the most. He calls it outlandish, and it's like, I mean,
why?
Thank you. What's outlandish about the Egyptians making a second edifice like the one they already did? What's so fucking crazy about that?
There's three pyramids right next to each other, just in one spot. They're okay with making more than one of something,
right?
It's so, how many temples do we find across the world that are similar and stuff like that? It's just so ridiculous. But because it's fully, it all came down to like partisanship, because it's Filippo Biondi. He's part of the whole Grant Hancock Wu community. And that's what it really came down to. And while I can understand that kind of knee jerking mentally to begin with, that's the kind of shit that really does not have a place in science. I compare it a lot to cops. Just imagine like a cop walking up on somebody, and we know that they judge people based on how they look, but they're also supposed to try not to. Imagine a cop just walking up on somebody and not trying to mitigate their personal feelings whatsoever, just being like, that person looks like a crackhead. That's how civil rights get violated. Okay? Mm-hmm. We expect cops that can't fucking curtail that shit to roll, not be cops. And if you're a scientist that can't get your ego, that can't get your fucking biases out of the way. Yeah, one of the clips that I use, because it's so funny to me how far we've come. Like, these guys are saying, we can't ask. He's not asking the archaeologists, is one of the things that Milo said over and over again. And they compare this to the whole, you know, don't question the science, trust the science kind of bullshit. And it's like, I love the clip of Carl Sagan saying today, if we are not able to ask skeptical questions, to question those in positions of authority, to ask questions of those that control the power, then we're up for grabs. That was science communication 20 years ago.
Yep.
Science communication now is trust the science. And that's where I use the other clip where Sagan says, science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking, a way of skeptically interrogating the universe with a fine understanding of human fallibility. So if you take all that into consideration, it's like, I trust the process. I don't necessarily trust the end result, especially when politics or partisan bullshit gets involved. But I still trust the process. I just don't necessarily trust the cocksucker doing it. Right?
Well said. Absolutely.
Dan, he made a really big deal about how the information was put out on a podcast. But when I was watching your episode about it, I was thinking to myself, isn't that like what he's doing? He's just got a goofy YouTube channel. Like, there's
literally the same thing. Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's not. There was so much lack of preparation. It's like he just went in there and made that thing like like off the seat of his pants. And I think it feels to me like the jig is almost up with that guy.
I think so to a degree, but there's a problem that I see. I see it with Dave Farina as well. It's this cult of personality that these guys get where it really doesn't matter what they say. They get a following. I mean, we see it with politicians all the fucking time.
Yeah.
We see it with musicians really bad as well. I don't know why people do it with musicians more than actors, because they're both worthless as far as that goes. I mean, Jesus Christ. But, you know, they get these followings of people that are just like, this person can do no wrong. And it's like, dude, fuck. And like, we really bad because, like, for example, like with Flint Dibble, the way he brought Milo on and chastised him after I had already chastised him. So, of course, you know, now we're going to come and talk about that afterwards. But a little plagiarizing of Dan there. But the whole thing is he talks down to the lad, but he doesn't ever, like, the fact of the matter is there's actually a mystery here. Okay, there is reason that people think there's a second Sphinx outside of Filippo Biondi ever talking about it. That's why it took off so strong, because there was a lot of people that had looked into this to begin with. So, you know, and Milo didn't even get that part. It's like he's not, like, he reads right over it. He calls the term radar engineer a worthless moniker or some such bullshit. And it's like, dude, the guy is a fucking radar scientist talking about radar. How is that worthless? How is it pointless? But sorry, it was so absolutely vapid that I just couldn't believe that. I can't believe it gets those kinds of views. So to circle back to what you're saying, I don't think that I'm afraid that it's not going anywhere. I'm afraid that you can just wear a stupid ass shirt, put a couple of rings on and edit your video a little goofy and people watch it.
Your rings were hilarious, man.
Oh, thank you. They didn't tickle when I wiped. That's for damn sure. So my boyfriend said too. But yeah, that's crazy. I have to answer the super chat from Wizard of North, because he's awesome. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the second Sphinx actually does exist, but who will authorize the excavation and when? The answer to that is no one ever. It will take an entire different civilization. It'll have to take like some Napoleon 2.0 conquering Egypt and killing everyone. And then, I mean, not saying that's what we need to do, but, you know.
Shout out Rubate, friend of the show here.
Oh, yeah.
Super chat. It felt like Milo was just farming, plus like Puss Dave, then Dibble farmed off of him. Shout out Rubate. Rubate got one of our hats. I had to ship it all the way down to Australia for him.
Oh, damn.
But we love Rubate. Love him here on Breaking Ancient News.
Yeah, we love Rubate here as well.
Yeah.
Rubate's a friend of this channel too.
Love it.
Wonderful
love it.
Guy.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's, you know, fun stuff about the Biondi. We'd love to know, you know, send us some more information. What do you guys think in the chat? Do you think, honestly, I want to know, maybe can we run a poll here? Dave, are you able to run a poll? Do you think that Biondi, the second Sphinx, exists or not? Let's run that poll here while we're going on to the next topic, because the next topic is kind of, you know, Biondi got a little bit of egg on his face. Okay, let's admit it. There's retraction is never a good thing, but the universe is a universe of balance, karma, yin and yang. And on the other side, one of ours, Jimmy Corsetti, friend of the show, also got vindicated for some of the things he said about Göbekli Tepe, specifically the trees. So, Cody, why don't you give us a rundown about that? Because I think you've been staying up all night diving into this drama.
You know, I feel like Jimmy is almost karma for these people. So it's funny you said that, because he is like the rain cloud that they just cannot shake. And the more they get mad at him, the more Jimmy proves himself correct, which is what I find so amusing. So a while ago, Jimmy actually brought attention to the trees. And you had all sorts of academics coming out and making the absolutely fucking absurd claim that trees planted over ruins aren't an issue and that they weren't going to cause any damage. And some people even came out and said the tree roots would preserve the ruins. I'm not kidding. Like, this, the internet's forever, and I know Jimmy's got the receipts. We would love to have him on to show those receipts, take a victory lap. But he's getting to take a victory lap right now.
Let me share this here Because this, we've got some of the, actually, Paul Hill, Past Politics, he had a tweet about this, and he brought some of the receipts. So,
Paul's always got the receipts. So,
I'll read them for you, Cody, because I know you're on the phone here. But it says, so here's Boring Dan Fallow, geologist. And the olives in the area penetrate a maximum of a meter. Okay, I thought you were an archaeologist or geoarchaeologist, not an arborist.
Scum of the earth, Dan.
Oh yeah,
the modern deposits it fills over the ancient remains underneath are over a mirror. Geez, Louise, a meter thick. This was already studied by specialists to evaluate the risks posed by the trees. Again, you don't know what you're talking about. Thanks, Dan. Flint Devil, number one, the olive trees were planted by a farmer who owned the land before the Turkish state bought it. Lie. Number two, the olive trees grow on the majority of sites I've been to in the Mediterranean. Hundreds. Does that make it good? No. Three, they're only damaging specific circumstances at meters, blah, 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 blah. Average Aussie Egyptologist, olive trees are shallow rooted, won't damage anything. And Veritas Caritas, no record of Neolithic structures being damaged by the roots, blah, 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 blah.
They can't help themselves. They literally can't help themselves. If Jimmy came out and said, look, it's a beautiful day, the sun is shining bright, they would lose their minds and they would say, absolutely not. It's horrendous cloud coverage everywhere, no matter what. So as it relates to this, Jimmy got to take a big old victory lap because they removed those trees. And it turns out those roots were actually causing some damage to the structures below. And yes, they found residential structures right below those trees. How about that? Who would have figured? But damn that Jimmy for coming out and making a stink about it, right? How dare he? How anti-science and anti-history?
And that's honestly a big deal. This was their position... By opposing Jimmy in this way, and this isn't the first time I've seen him, and they do it to me all the fucking time. By opposing Jimmy this way, what they end up doing is misinforming the public, because the people that trust the experts hear this nonsense that they're out there pushing, which if you go do a little research, I mean, the problems that trees have are massive. Like, not just damage to the structure even, like, there's a place in all over Europe, there's a certain species of snail that they use that only showed up at a certain point, right, in history. And so anytime that they have roots that grow down into wells, it just destroys their ability to use that snail to date the area. So this is like
obvious.
There's just, 101 different problems that way. So, it's just ridiculous. But, but to hell with teaching the people proper science education when we can fight Jimmy Corsetti.
Well, and the more they come out and do this, the more they drive people to Jimmy Corsetti. They don't understand the feedback loop they've got themselves caught in now, where because anything Jimmy says, they feel compelled to fight and argue and plant as deep as they can on.
So on the show, we've talked about, everybody knows about TDS. We've talked about GDS, derangement syndrome.
JDS now. It's real. Guys, get treated for that shit. Dan Falalulu, or however the fuck you say your name. I don't even care enough to say it right. Don't correct me, anybody. So however that guy says it,
Charles says we're anti-tree huggers.
We also need a Dan derangement syndrome. There's got to be some Dan derangement syndrome out there.
Now, Dan's already deranged. It's wild. Enough, so that might be a little confusing to people.
Well, if they haven't devalued themselves enough as academics and professionals, this kind of shit just continuously erodes their image and makes Jimmy look like a much better source to go to. So, Jimmy, keep fighting the good fight, brother. We all love you. Friend of the show, Jimmy Corsetti.
Yeah, it's actually the video I'm editing now, and we're going to talk about Denise Evans that Dave's going to bring up here in a minute. I'm working on a video about it now. I'm almost done editing it. One of the things that I bring up is how Jimmy posited, hey, maybe the Nephilim in the Bible could have been Denise Evans or Neanderthal, and he just got blasted by a bunch of people who have since deleted their comments because now it comes out that they were wrong. So rather than it was all like, oh, these are smaller than blah 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 blah, and it's like, you could, I said it back then, it's like, you could instead of attacking Jim, you could have got him and his entire audience. You could have just said, hey, these Denisovans and Neanderthal aren't as big as Cro-Magnon was, but there's other species of hominid that you could look into, like Gigantopithecus. Why don't you go do some more research and take his fire and his passion, and then you're a science educator, right? Shove him into the fucking science book, yeah. Man. How hard is it? You've got him right there. He's wanting to go. And instead, you're like, no, you're an idiot. Fuck you. It's like, yeah, oh my God. And why are they closing? Why are you guys getting fired? Why is even the Turkish archaeological people seemingly ignoring you now? They don't give a fuck about your little PC war, or your little PR war with Jimmy Corsetti on Twitter anymore. It seems like they've given up on that. Now they're just, well, yeah, we fucked up on these trees. Sorry, boys.
I love it.
Throwing in that.
Well, hey, you know, that's why this show exists. We're breaking ancient news, not only because we are talking about new discoveries, but we are breaking the narrative. That's what we love doing here. We love breaking the narrative and showing that, A, shit keeps getting on older, and B, you're wrong about a lot of stuff. I mean, that's why I call my channel the Megalithic Mystery, too. I think there's more of a mystery about it. But I think you're onto something with these Denisovians. We had some people in the chat say Denise Evans or Danny Sovins. I believe it is Denisovians, but I could be wrong about that. But
Denisovans is how I've heard it as well.
Dave's got a rundown about that for us. So why don't you catch us up to speed here, Dave? What's been going on? I got this this article pulled up here from Science Magazine that we can share.
Yeah, so two new Denisovan leg bones, a femur called Pangu 2 and a tibia called Pangu 3, dredged from the seafloor of the Pangu Channel, that's what I guess how they named it, in the Taiwan Strait, were identified as Denisovan via ancient protein analysis, confirmed by researchers from the University of Tokyo. They're published as preprints on August 8th, covered by science.org and Smithsonian Magazine. They're the first postcranial, meaning below the neck, Denisovan fossils ever identified. Until now, all were finger, bone, teeth, and jaw. These leg bones suggest Denisovans were large, stature estimates 176 to 190 centimeters, notably bigger than the contemporary Homo erectus. The bones date back to 45,000 to 43,000 years ago. This is that's a genuine science bomb, guys. We know almost nothing about what the Denisovians looked like. Denisovans, Denise Evans. They're just giant, apparently giant ancient cousins. and that's exactly what this story, this channel is built for, because giants have been coming up more and more, like, for me lately. Like, I've never been a big giant guy, but this got me thinking about a Y-Files episode where it's like one of the most terrifying ones. I can't remember the name
of it. Oh god, yeah, where the Neanderthals are hunting humans.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
I know which one you're talking about.
Oof. It's a classic. It's absolutely terrifying, but I did a little comparison here. Let me find it. So people around that time were like Homo erectus around that time were around 5 foot to 5 foot two. And these guys were 10 centimeters to 30 centimeters bigger than that, like 6 foot two and stuff like that. So anyway, got me thinking, like, were we friends with them in some ways? Did we communicate with them? Did we war with them? Were we terrified of them? Like that episode of of the Y-Files.
They liked our women.
Yeah. Apparently, because we have some, right?
Yeah. Here, I got that science article pulled up. If you want to share that, Dave.
Oh yeah.
I think it's interesting how they said unusually statured. I want to circle back to that in a minute.
This is what science.org says that they look like. Looks like one of your cousins there, Dan. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say, and I'll give you a little spoiler alert in my video. When I pull that up, I do put the arrow and point at that thing and call it a looks maxer.
So. So I wanted to put it out to you guys and the chat. In any shape or form, could these Denisovans and their large stature and existing at the same time as us, flourishing at the same time as us, could they be giants of ancient myth and legend at all? Yes, no, potentially, or giants aren't real. That's what I put.
Well, check this out. I'll give you a little, more spoiler from my video here. There is a gene, H13I or some shit like that. I forget now, but it is, it's a gene that controls morphology in the womb. And the Neanderthal and Denisovans are slightly different than ours. And when they, and their version is more, it doesn't make it certain every time, but it is more likely to have polydactyly, which is where you have six digits on your hands and feet.
Mm. So yeah, Jim Vieira.
Interesting. This has been part of the narrative since the fucking Bible days, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, there it is in the genetic record that, well, not all of them, but yeah, some of them, it's more likely for that. When they put the same gene in the mice lose, their skull gets modified weirdly. They lose one of their freaking spine, like a whole chunk of their spine, one of their vertebrae, that's the word. And they gain a digit and gain a rib.
That's wild.
It's fucking crazy.
You know, I can't help but like hear that verbiage. And I've read a lot of the old like newspaper clippings and stuff that talk about giants being found. And they use that term a lot. And like the old Smithsonian reports, like unusually statured. I wonder if a lot of those bones that the Smithsonian went and swept away from finds they were making in the late 1800s, early 1900s, all around America, if those were actually just Denisovan bones.
I honestly think there's a really good chance of that, or a close relative to them. I mean,
right, yeah, a mix between us and them, because obviously, like, that's going to happen at a certain point.
Well, but yeah, it is also hard how many people dug up bones and just classified them incorrectly because they had no idea what the hell they were looking at.
Exactly. Well, and during that time period, especially, like, they did not have the context we do now. I don't think the Smithsonian's ever going to go back and pull out those giant bones out of where, you know, whatever closet they swept them into. But it does make me wonder, when the same verbiage is being used now to talk about Denisovans, was that actually, you know, maybe some of the original mound people that were unusually statured? Was that some of the bodies being found up near Lovelock? You know, who knows? It's interesting.
I just don't think we even have like a fraction of the story because all we have is like some teeth and some jaw and now like a femur and what was the other one?
A hilarious amount of nothing.
Complete hands, no complete skulls, no complete vertebrae, no complete rib cage, just none of it. This femur and this tibia was a big deal. Hey, we got something to measure, boys.
And that's why,
let alone a sampling.
When, like, you gotta see, Dan talked about this in his video about the stretches in conclusions that archaeologists make sometimes. But we showed in that video, or in that that link that we have pulled up from the article, that picture of what a Denisovan's face probably looked like,
huge,
based on what we have as evidence, right? And they're like, and then so you walk into a museum and you're like, oh yeah, that's what Denisovan probably looked like. And they don't have any fucking idea.
No, we haven't found a skull. How do we freaking know?
No, yeah.
But hey, the article looks a lot better with that face on it. So
it sure does.
Yeah.
Look, Maxer Denisovans.
You know, it's amazing what mainstream archaeology is allowed to get away with by just like basically fabricating this whole backstory regarding, you know, around just a couple of bones, right?
But we're the pseudoscience.
We're the pseudoscientists. And, you know, that brings us actually a great segue into our next topic here, because our next topic is a video that I've been working on and I finally released here yesterday.
So good.
I think it's the best video that I've done.
It was fire.
A culmination kind of my entire life's work. I go into the background in it in the video, but I was raised in a very religious family who happened to be raised Mormon, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And if you guys don't know about that religion, it's wild. They get into some crazy stuff. I mean, I'm going to show you a little bit about the intro of my book, or a little bit of this video, and then we can talk about it if you guys have seen it. I'll give you guys a little bit more details. But when you actually read the text and take the religious implications of this text aside, that in the 1500 or 1800s, Joseph Smith wrote or translated or whatever you want to call it, a book that's 500 pages long that details an account of people here in the American continent over a period of thousands of years. Whether you believe it or not, that book exists and you can read it and you can analyze the events in there that they have placed up to specific notable events so we can have a timeline of this. And it just matches up in very crazy ways. Let me share my screen here and we'll play a little bit of the intro to the video.
Yeah, definitely your best video yet. Hey, if you guys are watching from one of the other channels and you haven't subscribed to Megalithic Mystery, go check out Megalithic Mystery for more stuff like this.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Mound builders of North America are some of the most mysterious civilizations to have existed on this continent. At their peak, they had vast, imposing empires. The Olmec from Mexico are famous for their mysterious, megalithic stylized heads, inexplicably carved with advanced precision and buried in the jungle. While the mound builders, more specifically the Hopewell, who existed about 1,000 years later, constructed massive earthwork structures all across the ancient United States. Some are built with astronomical alignment and precision beyond what we attribute to the natives. What makes these cultures even more mysterious is that nobody knows much about what happened to them. Where did they come from? Where did they go? And why did they die out? Well, what if I told you that there's a book, a translated historical record produced in the early 1800s that explains all of it and more? Not only the rise and fall of the Olmec and Hopewell, but also the Younger Dryas Cataclysm, the Tower of Babel, and the legend of Quetzalcoatl. This book ties together all of them, but for some reason, it's almost completely ignored by both mainstream and alternative communities. Despite this lack of recognition, its words have inspired and changed the lives of tens of millions of people all across the globe. Immensely controversial and deeply thought-provoking, that book is the Book of Mormon.
So that's just a little taste for you guys. Full disclosure also, I'm not a practicing, I don't believe in this church. It's not something like I have an emotional or attachment to anything like that. So I'm able to analyze this objectively, which makes things, you know, very easy for me. But they have some incredible things. I'll just give you guys one little preview here of some of the timeline of, I'm going to share my screen here again real quick. Or could you pop it up there again, Dave? The timeline of some of the events here that the Book of Mormon talks about. And this is where things get really, really interesting because A, they talk about building earthwork structures on the North American continent. And then they date those structures to from 72 BC to 385 AD on the North American continent up near the New York region. And then the Hopewell Society, which are the Mound Builders Society, exists from approximately, due to radiocarbon dating, 100 BC to 480. So it's like the exact same time frame, but we weren't able to know these dates until 150 years after Joseph Smith wrote this book. So it's some crazy stuff. Go check out my channel. Go watch that video. Dan, you're up there in Spokane. I know they got a lot of Mormons up there. They got a temple up there. I'm over here in Idaho. It's not too far. Have you encountered any of these theories before?
No, I hadn't. Not from any of the Mormons or anybody. I'm well familiar with the mound builders and stuff, but never heard of the Book of Mormon being attached to accurate history.
Yeah. It's quite fascinating. The dates line up with startling accuracy on both the Olmec and the Mound Builders. You go check out the video and watch it there. What do you got? The other two guys watched it. What are your thoughts or questions?
Well, first of all, huge like level up. That was definitely your best video. And I used to have this like running joke when I was younger, like of like, you know, what if the Mormons were right about everything? Yeah. And I used to just say that all the time. So it did get me thinking about that a little bit. You know, one of the things that you highlighted in the video is that ancient North America is, I think, criminally under considered in the grand scheme of things. And we're just figuring that out now. And so I don't know. It got me thinking, Aaron. It got me thinking, Aaron. Yeah. I don't want to get any spoilers, but it might get you thinking too.
Before I jump to you, Cody, I think this is a dangerous topic because if the events of the Book of Mormon like line up to historical events, that like throws some like crazy implications that people don't want to think about.
Right,
exactly what you said. Jeez Louise, if this book that this guy wrote 150 years before knew everything, what if he's right? Like, oh, geez, what if the Mormons are right? I got to quit drinking. I got to quit smoking. I got to start going to church. I got to pay. Like,
whew, I've already watched that episode of South Park. You see that one where they were asking God, like,
yeah.
There's like nobody in heaven. There's like 28 people. And he's right. He's like,
it's a word. Bicycle. I love it.
So I actually got to hear this video, like when Aaron was just like adding ingredients into the bowl in Mexico. And he blew my mind with it back then. And now he's like fully formed it. The video was incredible. Definitely probably your best work yet, dude, for sure. I don't know. There's something to it because the stories of visitors that exist throughout these cultures, and, you know, helping bring civilization with them, the dates lining up, it's, there is some startling correlations, and it's a good thing I've started drinking less because, you know, maybe the fucking Mormons were right.
Yeah.
Aaron, you got a question up for you.
Yeah, I see that question there. I'm not certain what you mean by the Civil Mormon Dispute of the Heartland Model and the Mesoamerican Mormon Model. Send me a message on X or send me a message on Instagram. We can get into more details about it. I'm happy to answer any questions. And Cody, you kind of, so the video that I did has really three main tenets that kind of are verified, that I think are verified through the archaeological historical record. The first one is the Olmec civilization. The second one is the mound builders. And the third, what Cody brought up, is the legends of Quetzalcoatl and Viracocha, because the Book of Mormon tells that story as Jesus Christ visiting the Americas. And I do a direct comparison of all those legends. And geez Louise, it's really, really weird how much it lines up. And it makes me uncomfortable because that's an implication that Dave talked about. Geez Louise.
There's a further, I will add to this. Everybody needs to go watch that video. And yes, as it relates to that legend, I recently realized there's a correlation between Maya kingdoms that were following the serpent Quetzal specifically versus like jaguar deities, and the ones doing human sacrifice were the jaguar ones, and the ones that were doing like bloodletting and just cutting their ear or their lip or God their dick, those ones were the ones specifically following like the serpent cult. So if that was Jesus coming to the Americas, it would make sense that would be the cult not ripping people's hearts out.
Yeah, and just a thought. Stopped human sacrifice is one of his tenets when he came. Yeah, which and Jesus would do.
Dick cutting does right. Line up. So,
Dick cutting lines up with the good faction. Yeah,
circumcision's still a thing, I guess. So, like, all around there is some startling correlations you've put all together. So, definitely great work, brother.
Thank you. And obviously, it's not perfect. You know, there's aspects of the Book of Mormon that are, you know, kind of, at this point, probably didn't happen. So it's not a perfect thing, but there's aspects that line up. And I think it's fun to think about.
I've got somebody asking, they're picking on you about your sideburns there, Cody. They were asking if you'd seen the video of the guy who grew the sideburns to look like Wolverine, and his wife made fun of him.
No, I call them thigh warmers, actually. But I'm sure his mom loves them. But it's, you know, it's one of those things. You've got an incredible beard. Boom. Randall Carlson has an incredible beard. Luke Cavern started running around with the mustache. So I was like, well, shit, everybody's beat me to the facial hair game. What do we got left? Soul patch? Yeah. No. Chops, I could work with that. Here we are. Like them, love them. Right? Yeah, I'm in East Tennessee. This shit plays hard. It just
falls right in, man. It's like wearing a cowboy hat in Austin. You're no problem.
I tell you, I wear my flannel and my hat out and these chops, and people just throw their loose Pall Malls and Marlboro Reds at me. It's incredible.
Because they think you're homeless.
Well, yeah. Or they think I might like fix their car or something. I'm like, no, I can't do any of those things, but I'll take your Lucy's.
You got a banjo?
Yeah.
I'll play a song.
I got a pretty mouth, so I actually stay away from the banjos.
Run from those guys.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're gonna move on to our on to our next segment here. You know, actually let me give our producer Sierra a call, because Sierra can apparently her cube computer died here, guys. But we were going to have
phoning in the ghost of Sierra.
We were going to have her play the ancient satellite map game.
Oh, dude, this is like
With Dan and
we're phoning a friend.
Co-hosts have already played that game. So let me see if she picks up here, calling Sierra, and we'll see if she's available. Maybe not. But if not, we're gonna have Dan play the Ancient Satellite map game. So this is fun. It looks like she's picking up. All right. So listen, guys, we're going to have Dan play this all by himself, but we need you, the audience, to participate as well and shout out the answers, because I'll tell you what, I don't think Dan's going to get most of these. They get pretty hard. We're going to have him run through the whole gamut of stuff that we've done. This is the Ancient Satellite Map game. What am I going to do? I'm going to show you a modern satellite map picture of a historically significant ancient site, and you guys have, and then you, the audience, and our wonderful guest host here, Dan, are going to guess where that ancient site is. Okay, so it starts off easy and it gets progressively harder. Now, the fun thing is that we've played this for a couple of weeks. We have a couple of a whole bunch of sites to go through. We're going to see how many in total Dan can get correct. So, Dan, do you have a good computer there? You can view things.
Yeah, I've got it. It's a Macintosh.
All right, here we go. So here's number one. This one should be, Dave, share that screen for me there. This one should be pretty easy.
Oh, shit, man. I don't know. What do we got there? You're doing satellite images. I don't usually look at these, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say Giza.
That is correct. Pyramids of Giza. 1, 2, 3 right there. Say we start off easy. It's nice everybody can get this. Some of these are more intuitive than others. Here's number two.
That's Sacsayhuaman.
There we go. Right on the money. Sacsayhuaman.
You're already doing better than me, Dan.
That big zigzag.
Well, look at me go.
Yeah, I've been cleaning Cody out the last couple weeks here.
Mopping the floor with me. It's bad.
Before I move on, or actually, no, let's go on to the next picture here. All right, here's this one right here.
Oh, I'm going to guess Stonehenge from that far up.
Easy. Stonehenge. You're nailing these. Here's number four. Let's see if anybody from the chat, what do you chat think? Dan's having a hard time here.
Oh, looks like one of the Mexican pyramids, but hell, I don't know.
Yep, that is one of the Mexican pyramids.
I love that fucking idiot. It's definitely Kyoto, Japan.
Which Mexican pyramid do you know? There's one big one.
Yeah, was that what's the name of that one? Tenochtitlan? No, that's not it.
Tenochtitlan's a big one, though, but this
it's Chichen Itza.
Chichen Itza, that's right. There the big step pyramid over there at Chichen Itza. All right, here's number five. Now, this one, I had to give lots of hints on this one, and I'll give you the same hints. This one's over in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And this one was featured in a Harrison Ford movie.
Oh, was this Petra?
That is Petra. Can't really tell much from the pictures.
That's you got Dan with the 80s reference.
Yeah, I zoomed right in on that one.
80s pop culture reference, and Dan nailed it. Yeah.
How about this one we have here?
Serpent Mound.
Serpent Mound.
That was just there a little bit ago.
Yeah. And then here we have this right here.
Oh. I think that's your Tenochtitlan, ain't it?
Nope. No Tenochtitlan. There are no pyramids. These are all flat structures.
Oh, they're all flat. Oh,
maybe a wall right here on the outside. This site known
that
for
that fucking foreman for building that thing on the right. That thing's so out of alignment that he should be fired. They should resurrect his
none of that is square.
This scale right here is aligned to the solstice, which is why it's slightly off.
Ah, I see. Yeah. That makes sense.
In the highlands near Lake Titicaca.
Oh,
one of those doing it by eye contractors.
Someone's close.
It's the Quest for Ancients. Hey, shout out to Robert. What's up, Robert Dakota? We already gave a good shout out to Quest for Ancients, but he got it right there in the chat.
Good job, Robert.
Yeah, Tiwanaku, close to Pumapunku, but wow, Robert got that quickly. Nicely done, Robert. And then here is number 8.
Oh, heck, I don't know. That looks like something over in Greece or some shit. Rome.
Close, but we're over in India.
Sardinia? In India? Oh, hell, I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like this mountainside has just got a big old chunk carved out of it.
Just Barbar Cave?
Yeah, like a laser.
Not Barbar Cave, but you're getting closer there.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Somebody in the chat.
Somebody got it. Wizards.
Kailasa. Wizard
of the North with Kailasa Temple. Nicely done.
Yay.
And then, we're not going to go to that one yet. We'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. Bear with me for just a moment here. Here's the next one. So we're going to go through a bunch of these because these are fun. Then we'll go to that bonus one that you chat are going to at home play for. So here's this one.
Thing.
This one should be pretty easy. What do you got there, Dan?
The Colosseum.
Colosseum. Now this one, the boys had a hard time on this one.
That's one of the Nazca lines.
It's not a Nazca line. But it's close to the Nazca lines, and it may have been done by the same people. But this one's down in Chile.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it's one of them glyphs, but I don't know the name of it.
It's the Atacama Giant down in Chile. That's the Atacama Giant. Yeah, all right. We're going to the next one here. This one's a fun one.
Oh, this one. Yeah, this is your Teotihuacan, ain't it? This is
Teotihuacan. Your you got that right off the bat. There's the Pyramid of the Moon right there.
Big-ass causeway there.
Oh, yeah. All right. Next one here.
Is that one of your Angkor temples?
Oh, you got two. Dan, you are crushing the Dan here. I'm not going to be very good at this game. I don't look at satellite maps. That's Angkor Wat.
I know. Play pool with this guy either. All right. He's hustled the shit out of you.
No, I'm not good at pool.
Okay.
All right. Then here's is a tough one. So I'll just zoom in here. You can kind of see it.
Oh, you're looking at those cart ruts in Malta.
Jeez, Louise. Dan.
Fuck.
Crushing it.
This was a bonus, I believe. I think Craig won this bonus one.
This is in the Amazon.
He knows what it is.
I'm recognizing it, but I can't pick it. It's in the Amazon.
In the chat's gonna get it.
Yeah, see if anybody in the chat can get it. This is
one live.
Yeah, this is the Pacific Ocean here on the right side. That is correct.
I think Graham Hancock was there in Quest for Ancient Civilization.
No. I think he was not at this one.
Yeah, he was.
He was at Gunung Padang. This is not Gunung.
Namadol.
Boo, there we go.
No, that's what I was saying. There was
that's Namadol.
That's Namadol, yeah.
Namadol? In the Quest for it's the old documentary from like 1999 or 2001, Quest for a Lost Civilization or something like that.
It was the one that corresponded with the book Heavensmere.
Yeah, so that is correct. That is Namadol over there in Micronesia. All right, here's the next one.
Dwayne Elliott got it.
See, this starts over for the new ones each week. They'll get easier. So, yeah, that's Nazca. Good job.
That's the one from a Graham Hancock show.
Yeah. This one's kind of tricky, so I'm just going to leave it out here. And it's kind of a trick question, too.
That's just runoff and shit, it looks like to me.
Surprisingly, this is also the Nazca Lines.
Oh, those are just a straight.
Lines. Okay. I tricked you guys with two there. But all right, let's move on to number three. Maybe the chat can help with it if you can't decide what
Baalbek is.
Not Baalbek, though. Good guess. Carrie Blatt got that last one more Nazca. What do we have here?
I don't know. Area 51.
So, guys, a little hint as the chat catches up to us. There are a couple of seconds behind here.
Tilted Towers.
There was one you did that I thought was Area 51. I think
This one is over in.
I literally guess it.
In the Orient.
In the Orient. Wolf. I remember.
Just did a tour here. For those that pay attention to Wandering Wolf, Mac Bladnick. With Japan, but where is it specifically? Anybody know in the chat? I'll give it to you guys. It is Ishinohoden. Ishinohoden, the ship rock stone over there in Japan. That's what it looks like.
Which I just talked to with Wandering Wolf about. He was there the other day. Episode comes out on Friday.
Nice. Yeah. Woo! All right, number four here. I chose this image very carefully. You can see that there is land in the upper left corner as well as on this, and the main site is right here in the middle. What do you think that is?
That's an
Epstein's palace. ding, 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 ding.
No, that's
Epstein wishes.
God, that's. It looks like a old world temple, like from the Middle East, but I can't.
So the body of water should be a hint, because this is not an ocean. It's not a lake.
Yeah.
It's land on the other side makes it a river.
What is Tigris?
The Karnak there?
No. Anybody in the chat? We got somebody. Luxor. Beetlejuice got it.
Luxor. Yeah.
Luxor. Well done, Beetlejuice. All right. We're going to the next one here. That's the Luxor Temple there.
Yep.
And then here we have this one's.
Everything I see reminds me of her.
This one is apparently modeled after the womb, after ovaries.
Huh. I don't know.
I see it.
I was in China.
Oh man, Dan, you're gonna have to come on a tour with me, because this is down there in Peru. This is my stomping ground. This is Morai. This is the what would you call it? The testing grounds for crops over there in Morai.
Zorro's Ranch.
That's what it looks like. Maras Morai.
Hey, I just want to shout out the chat is popping right now. So keep it coming, everyone. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah. Here's another one we have here. As you can see, the Google.
Oh, that's your step there. Pyramid at Saqqara.
Well done. Nicely done. Step pyramid at Saqqara. That's what it looks like.
I think your batting average is pretty good.
Yeah, you're getting
pretty damn good. Here.
All right, what do we got for this one?
Water purification plant. No. I don't know. Does that Göbekli Tepe when they pull all the trees out?
That's right. That's Göbekli Tepe. You can see the covered Sands area trees. There. Yeah, I see all the stuff at Göbekli Tepe. And then here's the bonus one that was one, not the one for you guys in this chat. This is one from a previous chat, but this one's one of the tougher ones. See if you can get this. I believe it was Shermanator that got this.
Some hanging gardens down there in Machu Picchu area.
It's, you're close, but it's not Machu Picchu.
No, I don't know.
This one's for the chat, right? Only?
No, not yet. We're going to get the one for the chat going in a sec. But while the chat's thinking about that one, maybe somebody will get it. This one was tough, though. I'll just give it to you guys because we're not playing for anything today. This is one of my favorite sites. And again, come on a tour with me. If you guys, and everybody in everybody's chat, I do offer tours down to Peru. Go to megalithicmystery.com. Send me some information. We're getting a new tour lined up. This is Tipon. This is one of my favorite sites down there that is a prime example of water engineering. This is Tipon down in Peru. Okay, now bear with me for just one moment here. We're going to pop over to my other account because, you know, sometimes I mess things up and I put, things in wrong folders. So we're going to go over this other folder here for the ancient satellite map game for last week. And then we're going to do the bonus for you guys. So here's number one. Pretty straightforward. What do you got for us, Dan?
I'm looking at like a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, I see a bunch.
Oh, bear with me here then.
Need to make it bigger
screen. Pulled up in a different screen. That's the difficulty here. So we'll share. We'll get the audience participating as well.
This is how
that should be pretty intuitive. Cool. What do you guys think here about that?
Oh, I don't know. Gee,
Stig, what do you think?
Yeah, what do you think, Stig? Is that the Azores?
I think we lost Stig. I think we lost Stig like an hour ago.
Yeah. Nice and easy. That's
he just commented on my channel.
Oh, did he? I didn't see it.
Yeah, that looks like the Azores, right, Stig?
Yeah.
It's definitely the Azores.
This was my favorite shot right here with his plane flying over.
That is a cool one.
Stig, are you going back? I think he said he was going back.
Yeah. I want to get out there.
All right, here's number two. What do we have here?
Stig's the man.
There he is. He comes as Atlantis. Oh, that's that's your oracle at Delhi or Delphi or Delphi or Delhi or whatever.
It is in Greece, but this is
your Parthenon.
There we go. Right. The Parthenon over in Greece. And that's what it looks like. And this is my favorite picture right here. Oh, beautiful.
Oh, yeah, that's gorgeous.
All right, number three here. Ooh, what is this? Can I even remember what this is?
It's a Greek thing, somebody says.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
That's
the airstrip where my drug dealer.
I do remember this one. This one's over in Turkey, not Göbekli.
Oh.
What's all Darren Kuyu.
No, not yet.
Karahan Tepe.
Karahan Tepe, that's correct. That's Karahan Tepe.
I'm trying to remember the one they have an airport next to.
Let's all go with Stig for his third trip, Hamburglar says.
All right.
Let's all go to the wrist shot structure together with Stig.
Oh.
This is a key for my video that I released.
This is a soccer field. You can see where the goal zone is. And those are little places where people died fighting each other after the game.
Here's a key. You can tell what country this is in based upon the neighborhood here.
It's in America, clearly. We have a cul-de-sacs.
Yeah, we do have cul-de-sacs. So what would that be?
Now, clearly not fucking soccer.
I remember.
It's American. We don't have none of that shit up in here. American football. Yeah, it would be, I'm not sure, one of these mounds type of sites. But, hang on. This is, might be your Carolina pothole things. It's not the bays, but some of that freaking splatter from it. I don't know, though.
No, you did get it right. It is the mounds. This is just a mound site in Ohio. This is part of the Hopewell mound culture. Okay. So you got it correct there. Nicely done. Right. There's some pictures of some mounds. All right, here's number five. Now, this one's a tough one. Before you give any hints, I wanted you to tell me, Dan, and chat, what do you see here? I want you to actually answer that question and tell me, Dan. I'm asking you to respond.
Sand.
Okay, perfect. Correct. So that should be the clue. Where is this site?
Your vagina? I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. Sorry. That's the Sandy joke. It was right, hanging right there. I couldn't not do it. And I don't know.
You can't see
it. Limestone. It's a limestone block from the Sphinx or the Great Pyramid.
No, this is very far away. This is a satellite map. It doesn't zoom in that close. Oh. And this is what you're seeing. This is probably 10 miles, 20 miles across here.
I already blurted it out.
So the lack of things that you see should be the hint in of itself.
Oh.
Because this site in Turkey does not, you are not able to see it from above the ground.
Oh, Darren Q. Yeah.
There we go. That is right. 100% yep. Correct. Darren Q is the correct site there. Yeah, nicely done, Dan. Nicely done.
Well, you gave me a pretty easy clue there.
Yeah. And then this is the bonus. This was last week's bonus one. And then after this, we're going to do the next bonus one that your audience and everybody's audience is going to participate and win the free hat. But for now, where does this one? This is for everybody to participate in.
Is that Baalbek?
That is Baalbek. Nicely done. Nicely done.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Now we're going to move on to the final one. And this is one, again, where you audience participates. We're monitoring across everybody's chat. We got a whole bunch of channels linked here. So make sure that you sign in and put the answer first, because the very first person that gets where this is, guess what ancient site this is, wins this free hat. As I said, I'm going to ship it to you anywhere in the world. This segment is brought to you by our unofficial sponsor, Zevia, which happens to be my favorite soda. Zevia, pay me some money because I'm doing this for free because I genuinely love it. Zero calories, zero sugar, zero crap. I'm just kidding. I love you guys. But here is the final ancient satellite map. I want you guys to guess. And this is for the audience, not for you, Dan, not for you, Cody, not for you, Dave. It's for the audience. Where is this? What ancient site is this right here? And it's specifically this purple dot. That purple dot should be the clue as to what that ancient site is. So I'm going to leave that up there for a little bit. Chat, get after it. We're going to monitor the chat. We're going to see if you guys can guess what ancient site this is referring to, and then I will ship you out one of these hats. But geez, that segment killed a lot of time. We went through a bunch of stuff, and let's get back to the news show here, because we've got
Dan some did fun. Really well.
Dan, you crushed. Okay. You crushed. Oh.
Freaking good at that shit.
Dan against somebody else. We got to get Dan against Dave. I'll do some new ones for next time we play here, because that was impressive. But we got some guesses. Bimini Road. It's not the Bimini Road, not Easter Island, not Skellig Michaels. But we do have a winner, and that is one of the people who's been most active here in this chat, Beetlejuice X, Yona,
yes.
Poop Sickle, OG6.
Barely lost.
This close to getting it, but Beetlejuice OX, did you pop that up?
I think they should get a hat too. It could have been at the exact same time.
Beetlejuice,
there's no way to know.
Oh, by the way, if you want to participate, you want to win the hat, you have to follow my channel. So go over to Megalithic Mystery, follow Megalithic Mystery for all you guys as well. We're going to be playing this often, but Beetlejuice, send me a message over on Instagram, over on X, over on YouTube. We're going to get your hat shipped out to you. Well done. That was a tough one, but that is the Yonaguni Monument, which is underwater, which is why you couldn't see anything on the map there. Wonderful. Screwdriver Tuning also got it.
Well done. Well done. Yeah.
All right. So we wanted to get here over to the Cody. You had the Y files, right?
Yeah, it was another one of his like campfire episodes where he doesn't really go into debunking anything. He just kind of gives you the story and moves on to another one. And this was three missing persons. So if you want to get that pulled up, Dave or Aaron, whoever's pulling that up.
Where are we looking into the shorts or what?
No, it's on his, it's his latest full-length video. It should be the one with the, yeah, right there, campfire stories.
This episode of the Y-Files is brought to you by Delete Me. Gather round. This happened on February 9th, 2004, in New Hampshire. On the side of a mountain road, Maura Murray's Saturn sedan sticks out of a snowbank. Someone stops to help, but she refuses. A neighbor reported the accident to the police. She didn't see a young woman. She said a man was in the car smoking a cigarette. When the police arrive, the car is there. But Maura's backpack, phone, keys, and bank cards are gone. 22 years later, we still don't know who is in that car smoking. And we still don't know what happened to Maura Murray.
All right. So he covers three stories like this of people just completely disappearing without a trace. And I thought he was going to go into like some of the missing 411 stuff, which he's covered before on the Y-Files. But no, these didn't really relate to it, but it was just a wonderful episode. As far as the missing 411 stuff goes, have you guys heard of that or looked into it much? And what are your thoughts on it?
You know, at one point in time, I just saw an infographic. Can you guys hear?
Can hear you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At one point in time, I thought I saw an infographic of notable missing persons cases directly alongside a map of cave systems in the United States.
Yeah.
And like, geez, they're like identical.
Yeah, yeah. It's and it, like over national parks, cave systems specifically. It's,
I haven't dug into this Wi-Fi. Yeah, I haven't dug into this Y-Files yet, and because that makes me like the majority of missing person cases, I'm sure it's like, oh, you stumbled into the broke your leg and passed out and whatever, you're dead, and nobody finds you. But I'm quite certain that the ones that AJ is going to focus on are the ones that there's something a little bit weirder on, and those are going to be fun.
Well, I'm just going to gripe again, as I did last week, and say more lost ancient history, AJ.
Or at least paranormal.
If you want to see the lost ancient history, though, he's doing it in the basement interviews. He's doing UFOs. He's doing lost ancient history. He's doing all that stuff. But I particularly enjoy the history-based storytelling that he does. So there's that. No, I haven't heard dug much into missing 411 or whatever. But, yeah, national parks are like hundreds of people go missing every year in those places. And there's always like super weird circumstances with all of them. There's a never ending like amount of weird stories like that where you can't match them up. And there's no real good answer.
I've got a weird one I'll tell after Dan. Have you heard of the missing 411 cases? What are your thoughts? Because you live right up in an area where a lot of them come from.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty desolate up here. It's like one of the things that I, when I say desolate, I mean like desolate in a way that, you know, if you're walking around out in Texas, for example, there's a huge chunk of it that you can see somebody 20 miles away just about, right? You're not sneaking up on anybody out there unless you're spending all day crawling in the sand. But out here, man, you could, if you just put your ass on somewhere on a trail, you could grab somebody off of it. And there's plenty of hikers and stuff, but you're also out in the middle of nowhere, like the Chinook Pass is a great example of it. Like from the top of the Chinook Pass, you look down and you just see massive sprawling wilderness, but you're also not very far. I mean, you're on a highway. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that you see a lot of this. I mean, they have a lot of it. Up in Canada, they got that really bad problem with their road up there, the highway. I mean, some of the stuff is definitely going to be on the more mysterious side, but a lot of it, honestly, as sad as it is, I think it's just trafficking. There's a huge problem with that in the Native American communities up here because certain bloodlines of Hispanics look very much like Native Americans. So if they are in the cartel, They'll learn a language, infiltrate a part of a tribe, and grab a girl or two. It's really bad in Montana, they say.
That's wild.
I spent a lot of time in a lot of national parks, and the amount of like young people, young girls that I would see, like just traveling around alone, like, hey, let's hang out. You know, we hung out with one of my wife and I for like a couple days in Zion, I believe. But the point is I would tell everyone to educate your 20-year-old daughters. Don't be going around in a national park by yourself.
Well, it's
not a good idea.
There's no animal more dangerous than the human animal, first of all. But a lot of these missing 411 cases are more of the mysterious nature where there's, you know, something paranormal seemingly involved in it. And whether that's, you know, go ahead.
This is a good segue into me sharing my most recent guest from the show, but go ahead and finish and I'll segue into that.
I was just going to say, it's I hope AJ kind of dabbles back more into that, but it was a wonderful episode.
So I have another explanation.
Okay.
It was Bigfoot, especially if we're talking about coming from where Dan's from. Okay. But I just wanted to introduce this guy. His name is Justin Brown. For a book, I'm trying to find it, but he's the host of the Prometheus Lens podcast. And he looks at everything, lost ancient civilizations, UFOs, Bigfoot, paranormal stuff, through like as biblical a lens as possible. And it's very interesting to talk to you in the book about it. I'm trying to find what it's called. I'll find it and flash it later, drop it in the thing. But anyway, he talks about Bigfoot in the Bible. And so it kind of lines up with the theme of the show, with the megalithic Mormons, them having so much of the story right. Well, it turns out they talked about Bigfoot in the Bible. Let's check this out.
Well, I was hanging out with the dudes up in Montana about a year ago when I checked out the Sage Wall, and one of the locals there talked about a story of there being like a hole in the ground, kind of a cavern system, and that you could hear people that would make crying baby noises, and they weren't people. Right? Local story, but
I won't rule Bigfoot out. I have not ruled Bigfoot out yet. I'm not. You know, let's check it out.
Yep.
I don't know why this is doing this. That's weird.
They put 100,000.
That's weird. Sorry, guys. I don't know why I did that.
YouTube showing your ads.
Well,
they should sponsor us too.
So I think I know what happened. I'm on my one of my other accounts instead of my personal one where I don't have commercials. Let's try that again. Sorry about that, folks. Let's try that again. Justin Brown, Prometheus Lens Podcast. Let's go.
While we wait, I think Bigfoot is just inbred Nephilim. That's my deranged theory for the day.
I literally thought I was sharing it. I'm sorry.
No, but we're excited for it.
Third time's a charm.
Yes.
We're going to make this work. This is
we
why
need our
producer
back. Sierra,
this is why we got
you.
A producer. Standing on this today. Here we go. Let's go. Justin Bruce.
This book is the most supernatural book ever. It's full of giants. It's full of Bigfoots. It's full of vampires and Lilith, the screech owl monsters. You know, I mean, all this cool stuff. Genesis 25:25. The first one came out red, covered in hair from head to toe like a hairy cloak. I was like, damn, that sounds like a Sasquatch to me. And here is this guy named Enkidu, covered in hair from head to toe. He's also known as the Mighty Hunter. And I'm like, man, here's another one of these Sasquatch-sounding guys in an ancient text. I found the Book of Jasher, and to me, it seemed like a mirrored image of the Epic of Gilgamesh. And I never knew this, but when I found it, it blew my mind.
So, really interesting, very, very nice guy, to talk to. Looks at everything through a biblical lens. I was... So, here's the thing, guys. I, I, I'm willing to entertain more in 2026 than I was in 2016. Okay. I don't know. Would you guys?
The
all
world's
say
weird.
The same
yeah,
thing?
You're right.
Yeah, it's a weird world. Oh,
I told you.
I'm
guys
never
going to
think
week,
of me could do the same.
I told you guys last week. I'm 15% convinced that the Earth is flat.
Like, right. Yeah. I think it's that's a good number.
No.
I don't like it. I'm not
I
ruling
like
it.
Come
out.
Back,
I'm not,
Aaron,
I'm not ruling
back.
It out. I'm not saying that I'm a flat earther. I'm just not ruling it out.
I'm saying 15%. I'm 85% confident. Good. Is pretty
for the
confident.
Record, Cody's at no percent.
Yeah.
Fucking none.
Yeah.
Well, hey, by the way, shout out to our chat here. Timbo Slice, or Dave, can you post that up here? It says, Cody, that sideburn shit has to go.
No. No, because winter's coming and your mom's legs will get so chilly. I can't have that. I don't want it. I don't know. It's I'll touch them up though. You are right about that. I didn't shave today. Showered twice. Didn't shave once. Fuck that.
See that one.
Well, listen here, everybody, chat. It's been a great time. We're wrapping up with just a couple of topics here left. I appreciate everybody that's been popping in and participating. We love when you guys are in here talking to us. And throwing everything down. If we can get any kind of, well, I'll tell you what. If we get one more super chat from anybody at all, I'll play another round of the ancient satellite mapping for the audience.
And, I did not say I was a flat earther. I said 15% was a good number.
Enkidu is a Sasquatch, and Dave is a flat earther. Confirmed. This is breaking ancient news, folks.
Yeah. Listen, let's crank out these.
I'm not
last
saying
couple
it, I'm
topics.
Not even saying it's my number. I just think it's a good number.
That is a good number. Yeah, let's crank out these last couple of topics. Play another round of the ancient satellite map game, and let everybody go spend the rest of their Sunday with their families, or actually go spend the rest of your Sunday over on my YouTube channel watching all my videos. You know, some interesting things have been found over in Karnak. Some buried megaliths were found via drone. And I want you to catch us up to speed on that, Dave. I've got this up here if you'd let me share. But what's been going on over in Karnak? This is in France, right?
Yeah, a team led by Guillaume Bruno, I'm going to say, conducted a geophysicist survey of approximately 2.5 hectares of Karnak, Brittany, already home to 3,000 plus standing stones. Using drones and ground penetrating geophysics, they revealed buried standing stones. I think this is pretty significant. Extended alignments, burial mounds, and cooking pits beyond previously known boundaries. The megaliths of Karnak received UNESCO World Heritage status in 2025. I would have thought they would have got it sooner. But it's largely unexcavated, which I also didn't know. But this is a peer-reviewed, just published paper, and it's criminally under investigated. But they just found standing stones underneath. So it got me thinking, and I'll ask the chat and you guys to sort of open up a conversation about this. But and I mentioned this earlier, right, about the Denisovans and how we only have like jaw bones and teeth and blah, blah, blah. Well, I feel that way about the ground too. Like I feel like we have very little of what's actually buried. Oh, that's the wrong one. No, that's the wrong one. So what percentage of ancient sites have we discovered, you guys? I put on the board, you could throw it whatever you want, but 10%, 50%, 90%, 100%.
I wouldn't even say close to 10%.
Yeah. Can you have 0 to 10%?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there 0.010%?
It's got to be a remarkably low fraction.
One of the things I love to use to illustrate how much history we lose and just how fast is World War II historians. And World War II was really heavily documented. World War II historians will debate about what units were, what patches where, what units were, which places where, what in different inventory they were given, all this. So, I mean, to think that we, you know, and then you look at what we lost, like how much has been lost in translation with the cargo cults. It's like, yeah, you go 10,000 years, we know fuck all. I mean, the story becomes this tiny little gossamer of truth with all massive amounts of cultural baggage.
You know, I think about, that's a great example there, a real world example that you can like easily wrap your mind around too. I think about the Titanic. Titanic was a steel structure. And right now, you know how much is left of the Titanic? They say 5%. 5% of like what the original structure remained, like the salt water. Even at that depth, it's just brutal. There's nothing left. So like, I mean, that's salt water, granted, like the stuff's, you know, buried. But like, you know, the flood myth, the ocean level rising, like stuff just disappears. Thermodynamics is brutal. And I think thought exercise, like if humans vanished from Earth right now, every single person vanished, and then what would the Earth look like 10,000 years from now? What would be left? Because concrete, all that shit would degrade. That would crumble down and get eroded like nothing. Steel,
yep.
Same thing, unless it's, you know, very, very high, you know, composite metals. Basically everything over 10,000 years is going to be destroyed. And yep. Then there's I just saw somebody post about it, and I've talked with you guys about it before, the great unconformity, where mm-hmm. Earth's global geological record, there's 1.2 billion years missing. 1.2 billion years vanished from the geological record. If it only takes like 10 or 20,000 years for us to get from Neanderthals to here where we are today, what could have happened in that 1.2 billion? There's just so much that we don't know. It's one.
It is wild. That's the kind of shit that definitely keeps me up at night.
Yeah, me too.
Definitely.
Me too.
Definitely. Well, let's cover our last topic. Actually, we got two more topics here. Just a fun little thing. Just a fun little something that's happening. Maybe I should take the opportunity. Dan, have you been to Egypt yet?
I have not. No. Nope.
Listen, next year, guys, this is when we need to go. Dave, would you share that? Hit that for me.
Yep.
I know some people that are going to be out there for this.
2027, August, a year from now, guys, the eclipse is happening in Egypt. It's going to go over the pyramid. It's going to hit Luxor. It's going to hit a bunch of stuff. Great Pyramid of Giza, as well as Mecca, Valley of the Kings. This is going to be crazy. How epic would that be to go to Egypt the very first time and get to witness a celestial event like that? Boys, that
is pretty cool.
Let's book our trip.
We might need you know you're suckering me with the celestial events. I'm like, oh, all right, I guess I could go to Egypt.
We could go with geophysicist Stefan Burns. He came on my show a couple months ago talking about this. He was all jazzed about this.
Trevor Grassi's invited me to go hang out with him over there.
Aaron's got Zahi Hawass's book now. So if you read that, you'll know the secrets of every grain of sand, and you'll be able to guide us through Egypt like nobody except for Zahi Hawass. So it'll be perfect.
Yeah.
It's all in there.
It's all in there. Every grain of sand.
Zahi gave me an invite up to when I was on Pierce Morgan with him. He invited me and Jimmy and Pierce to go to Egypt. So,
are you going to go molest sand with them?
Fake invite.
I figured that
you'd take Pierce.
You could run your fingers through the sand with Zahi and get to know it as intimately as he does.
I'm not stupid, man. I've dealt with people that are corrupt before. I know I'd get off of that plane and they're going to find heroin on me, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life getting traded for Turkish cigarettes in a foreign prison.
You're at least getting your butt checked for as much as you've put him through. Somebody's sticking their finger in your ass, Dan.
Absolutely. Well, hey, we're going to move on to the last subject here. And then, as I said, you know, as I promised, we're going to play an extra round for all the wonderful people here in the chat. We're going to do a second giveaway of another one of these hats with the ancient satellite map game. So while I'm going and pulling up a site and looking for that, we're going to kick it over to Cody, who's going to tell us about what Randall Carlson's been up to, because he's been pumping out some videos about the Paiute Giants. Dave, can you handle doing the links?
Yeah, you're firing some links at me, or links for what?
No, in the
so for Cody Randall. Stuff. This is number 8 on our list, Dave. The links on there. Randall Carlson put out a short recently about the Paiutes going to war with the Giants, and this is actually a story I've covered in the past. I've written about it. I've made a couple of videos about it. Everybody should go to my channel at Easton Outpost and check it out. But let's check out Randall's short and what he had to say about the Paiute Giants. And then I've got a little more surrounding context information I can add to it.
Yeah.
And I don't actually know, because this short appears to be from a podcast that he did. And yeah, I don't know what the fuller podcast is that it's from. He didn't have that linked as well, but go ahead. This one's getting some good attention.
All righty.
The Paiute lived, and their stories and their legends go back to when they lived on the shores of this great lake, the area that is most of Nevada. At the end of the last ice age, it was Lake Lahontan. There's no lake there now, just a little puddle that's left over. Well, I think Pyramid Lake maybe is the one lake that's led over from Lake Lahontan. But here's the interesting part. There was a race of giants, and they were very aggressive. They, too, fought battles against these giants and eventually were able to drive them into a cave where they set the mouth of the cave on fire, and apparently the giants perished. There's also, and I have some newspaper accounts where I was literally able to go Lovelock Cave, the Lovelock Times or whatever the news was, found the archives from the 1930s that they have online, and went in there, was able to find a couple of original articles about a rancher was excavating for something, maybe a well. He hit a skeleton of a giant. This is also in the paper. I mean, I have a photo, a screen capture of the original, which, by the way, is right out there. I think it's called the Black Rock Desert. You know, they have the Burning Man festivals every year. So we're talking about that area right there. And at one point, Lake Lahontan, on that particular desert where they meet and congregate every year, the water was of Lahontan was about 500 feet deep. But at the high water mark are these caves. In the early part of the 20th century, mummies were found in one of the caves, a lot of mummies, and it's there in the newspaper.
Okay, so that it's a wild ass story because first of all, giant bodies around that time period were being found in caves around there. They were being found during excavations, during road work and stuff. And the newspapers were reporting them. The Smithsonian came out to a lot of these and retrieved the bones. But it's the Paiutes, they actually for quite a while interacted and dealt with these. And Aaron, I'm sorry. You know, we don't want to offend you and your people as we address this, but the Paiutes did not like the red-headed giants. They didn't get along very well. Turns out they were eating the Paiutes, and the Paiutes didn't really like that. So eventually they chased them across the lake and cornered them in Lovelock Cave. And the story goes that for an entire week, they lit the cave afire. They continued to throw wood and anything they could to keep the flame burning in the cave. And then nothing ever came out after that when the fire went out, and they filled it in. And the Paiutes take that legend very, very seriously. It's a very established part of their history. And Sarah Winnemucca Hopkins actually is a Paiute lecturer. She wrote a book called Life Among the Paiutes. She actually has a dress, a mourning dress, that contains the red hair of these giants that her ancestors have passed down from generation to generation. And the whole thing's just a wild story because there's so much circumstantial evidence and seemingly physical evidence that just nobody's willing to test. So wild shit. I love Randall Carlson bringing some attention to it. And I've got, I think, two different videos on my channel people could go check out if they want to hear more explanation about the Lovelock Giants, because it's wild.
I'm all in on giants, guys. I'm in. Saying it from here. I'm in.
I'm all in.
It was my first time saying that out loud, but it keeps coming around. It's in all the ancient stories from all across the world and
everybody.
Right.
I think and, the term giant is part of this kind of the psyop against the
yes, conspiracy correct. Theory.
It just puts it in the Bible camp, and now it's like, ah, we can just knee jerk. I mean, dude, I've seen it. Like Mark Bosler, who's like the biggest critic of the Younger Dryas impact hypothesis, I've seen him point blank say they use the same arguments that creationists do. And it's like that fucking doesn't matter. Is the evidence good or not? But this is they just knee jerk into it, and we science has been doing that for a long time.
Well, and the science might be confirming that this is just Denisovans or Neanderthals or, you know, maybe just like some form of near hominid. Yep. This isn't at all woo or whack. There doesn't need to be some grandiose mythological explanation, which, of course, as humans, we've built around it in time. But the it's science is showing stuff. There were big-ass people walking around at the same time as us. They were big. And to most normal sized people, you would look and you would go, shit, that guy's pretty giant.
You know, you guys need to come to Quest for Ancient Civilizations and meet us in person, because you guys will see, we joke about me being the resident Nephilim, but I'm 6'4" with red hair.
He's really fucking big. Yeah, it's actually like, really surprising. Him and Will, you're like, what?
We're my people.
Was Will Brown going? Is he going to be there?
No, he's not going to be there this time. He's taking a break from that. But we do love the Giants
here. Sam Urban was super tall, too. There were so many super tall.
Yeah, but not like Nephilim tall. Like
Sam Urban's pretty tall, though.
These two guys, but he's thinner, I think, is the thing. Yeah, so, like, when you see Aaron and Will, and they're, like, these totally normally filled out people that are also, like, fucking 6-7 inches bigger than you, you're like, oh, all right, fuckers.
Hey, listen, guys, we're a little bit over an hour and a half here. We like to keep it nice and concise, so we're going to wrap things up. But first, we're going to play a last round of the Ancient Satellite Map game. So everybody in the chat, we've got a lot of people in Dan's chat. Dan's got a nice big channel there where he's having lots of people help us participate. You guys got to do three things for me. If you want to win this hat, you got to subscribe to my channel, Megalithic Mystery. You got to subscribe to Dave's channel, Dave's Multiverse, and you got to subscribe to East 10 Outpost. Right now, while I'm pulling this up, get those
and be dunking.
Make sure that you're subscribed, because you have to be subscribed to win. But I have the last version of this Ancient Satellite Map game, and then we're going to send you guys on our way. While I'm pulling this up here, we'll do some outros and say goodbye to everybody. But first person in the chat that gets this correct, you guys will win that hat. I'll ship it anywhere in the world. But just while we're going here, I just wanted to say thanks to everybody for participating. Thanks so much, Dan, for joining us. We're looking forward to seeing you again in just a couple of months.
It'll be a lot of fun
here on Breaking Ancient News. Any final thoughts there, boys?
Thanks for having me on, man. It'll be a lot of fun. This is, I'm going to be uploading it later today, so check me out over there. Make sure and subscribe. I've got links to all these dudes' channels down below in my description, so make sure and subscribe to all these guys. They're all good friends of mine, and I enjoy their content. So go subscribe. Don't be stupid.
Thank you. Nobody in the chat. Yes. Oh, there we go. Somebody just in the chat. Okay, here. This is where I need you guys here. We got two people in the chat that got it right basically at the same time, but one of them is misspelled. Terminator Osborne won last week, but he misspelled it. He said Burabadur. And it is not Burabadur, it is Borobudur, which Past Politics said right after that. What do you guys think? I think we should give it to Past Politics.
Spelling right. Paul deserves a hat. We need to have Paul on one day. Definitely, yeah. Paul should get a hat. They're both awesome, though. Yeah. Sherman's awesome. Paul's awesome. And Dan, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
Past Politics, really S9Y. Send me a message on Instagram or X. We'll talk. We'll get it figured out. Get you that hat. Sorry about that, Dave. Go ahead.
I'm good. I did want to say, if you're into storytelling and adventure, photography and adventure videos and stuff like that, check out East 10 Outpost. My boy, Cody.
Thank you, Dave.
He normally has some stuff to show us this week from his channel, but he's got an excellent channel there. You got to check it out.
I've been in the kitchen cooking, bud. I've been working on my next video. It's a long one, so I'm like 2 weeks in on it. It'll be here soon.
Sweet. I've got an episode dropping Friday, fresh off his trip to Japan, The Wandering Wolf, next week, followed by George Howard, the visionary behind the Cosmic Summit, which we are 95% sure is happening this year, the following week. So check out my channel, Dave's Multiverse. And thank you so much, everyone in the chat. Thank you, Dan, for joining Breaking Ancient News. Let's go.
Join us at Quest for Ancients. Have a good one, guys.